101.3 FM K1. And it is the fourth Monday of the month. Typically an opportunity for us to spend a little bit of time with Bartlesville City Manager Ed Gordon and members of the staff and or management of the city. Mr. Gordon is conspicuously absent, but in his stead, City Clerk and Finance Director and probably a few other hats that I'm not aware of, Mike Bailey. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Charlie. We don't want to talk about all of those. Then people start to expect things.
And they all fit on one head. It's amazing.
One at a time. One at a time. You can do anything one at a time, Charlie.
Well, that's true. And for a short time, you can rotate hats if you have
to. There you go.
Well, I know you have some announcements for us, so let's start there and see how things are going.
I do. We got a couple things to go over. In fact, one of these I'm going to let you talk more about because you actually know more about it than I do, which would be the Crime Stoppers Awards.
Yes.
I believe you were probably present this evening. I wasn't able to make it.
Well, it was thanked. First of all, we had Bartlesville officers, and I'll say since they moved on to the sheriff's office, a couple of former Bartlesville officers who were recognized for that. Crime Stoppers supports the law enforcement agencies in Washington and Nevada counties, and of course, it's to the public, we're an opportunity to provide information via Crime Stoppers tips, totally anonymous, and we do pay a reward for information that leads to the arrest on a crime. We've solved some cold cases, we've solved some major cases, and maybe some that are not so major, but got some criminals off the streets, or at least into the courtroom as a result of those.
Everyone matters to somebody, regardless
everyone
of how big that case was.
Absolutely.
It mattered to the victims.
But it was an opportunity for us about a week ago to spend some time honoring law enforcement's best. We asked the chiefs of the area departments, Washington County, Nowata County, South Coffeyville, City of Nowata, Bartlesville, Dewey, and Ramona to nominate their best. That also for the City of Bartlesville included a Dispatcher of the Year in addition to an Officer of the Year, because Bartlesville does dispatching for not only for the city but for Washington County.
Quite a large area we dispatch for, but we appreciate everything you all do for our local law enforcement. And wanted to congratulate Mr. Greg Oates, dispatcher, and our canine officer, Stephen Silver. Both of them were recognized that night. And again, we wanted to recognize both of them, but also to thank you, Charlie, and the Crime Stoppers organization
for
everything
you do. And for Mr. Silver, being a third-generation law enforcement professional,
absolutely.
His dad was there in his sheriff's role.
I'm sure it was a good moment for both of them.
As I believe there was a 90-some-year-old grandmother there as well to welcome congratulate him.
She's seen a lot of law enforcement go through her family.
She has. So, again, to all of them that we honored, but again, to Mr. Oates and Officer Silver in this particular case, and Officer Silver completing canine training and, at least as of a week or so ago, had not chosen which of the upcoming two canine officers he would work with.
Yep, that's it's a great program that we have with our canine program. We have extended that or expanded it to a third canine officer, and that was done through the generosity of the public mostly. Those were funds that were raised to purchase the dog and outfit the equipment and the vehicle and to train Officer Silver. So it's we're very excited about it and very thankful to the public for their support of the police department and the canine.
Well, you like the Crime Stoppers program, thank the generosity of the public. We are supported primarily through public contributions, also some grants from area businesses, but it's an event like the sponsors for our event the other evening, and I don't want to start mentioning because I will leave someone out.
I understand.
But it is through both the individual and business sponsorships that allowed us to be able to have that law enforcement appreciation night. It was the second annual. Had a great speaker, Estella Quintanilla, former board member for Crime Stoppers USA. She ran the school Crime Stoppers program for Laredo schools for a total of 18 years. And as you would expect, Laredo being right there on the international border, a lot of things going back and forth through
that. Quite a job, I'm sure.
Yes, and motivating students to realize that a Crime Stoppers tip is not necessarily snitching; it's doing the right thing for
That's
your
right.
school and for your safety.
Very, very difficult in today's environment to get that message across.
We'll also locally compliment Carrie Eichelberry for local Bartlesville schools. She has worked diligently to rejuvenate a school Crime Stoppers program in Bartlesville schools. schools, particularly right now for the secondary schools, the high school, and the two middle schools, Central and Madison. And students in those programs, by the way, have already given the school some tips on the Crime Stoppers program in schools this year. And the students can use the smartphone app P3 Tips on their phone. And it's the same one we use for the community program, but if it's a school tip, students can choose
they can do it through
high school or Madison or Central, depending on where they go to school.
And as always, remain anonymous.
Absolutely. Protected through state law. A few years ago, Steve Martin, Earl Sears, John Ford, passing a law that exempts Crime Stoppers tips from subpoena. If it gets that far, information could be provided through a judge in chambers, but again, would be exempted.
Never publicly.
Never publicly. So
what we, as I said, we appreciate everything. We appreciate the partnership with the school as well that you mentioned, Carrie Eichelberry. Her husband, Kevin Eichelberry, is a lieutenant in the Bartlesville Police Department.
Yep.
We have two officers that are in the schools, one of which the city provides and one of which is paid for by Bartlesville Public Schools. So I think it's important not only for them but also for us. We're able to be more proactive in crime when we're in the schools like that and getting to know those kids.
And I know at least on the local police department, Chief Holland has commented frequently about the value of the information from the public being the eyes and ears of the police department.
Absolutely.
We have great officers, but they can't be all places all the time.
Can't possibly employ enough. We're very fortunate to live in a community like Bartlesville that supports law enforcement.
The idea of Crime Stoppers started 41 years ago in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was the armed robbery of a Phillips 66 station. The attendant was killed. At the time, of course, not a lot of cameras around.
Right.
So the officer was somewhat stymied. It was a late night, early morning robbery. Decided to go to a local TV station, reenact what they believed to have happened. Story appeared on a 6 o'clock newscast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. The officer was back at his desk at the police station with the promise of anonymity. Not a lot of caller ID at the time.
Right.
And was answering the phone with an offer for, again, monetary incentive if somebody calls. That he was still answering the phone at 3 in the morning with information not only being called in for that armed robbery, but solved three other murders in the process.
Everything else that had happened in town, huh?
Yeah.
It is a great program. Speaking of programs in the city of Bartlesville, there's another one that we've done for the last several years. It's a spring and fall cleanup program, and we're getting a lot of questions about this one because we put out a press release recently, essentially that we had suspended this program pending review. And I know a lot of people are curious about that. We get a lot of calls, people who want their coupons. They look for them about this time of year.
The other one expired the end of June. Where's the new one?
That's right, and it has been a very successful program, and in fact, it's been so successful that we've had to step back from it a little bit. For a citizen, it is free of charge. They're able to take whatever, one load to the landfill, and with that coupon, they can get through free of charge. The city, however, has to pay the tipping fees on that. So even though the citizen didn't pay anything, the city does have to pay. So we've suspended that temporarily. We're taking a look at it. It will be back in some form or fashion. We're not sure. In the past, we've done it with narrower windows where there was a few weeks. We did this over a six-month period, as you know, and in fact, you got two coupons, so it technically was good for the entire year. It is a hugely successful program, and it will be back, but we're just not sure exactly how it will work this time.
But the seasonal twig, leaf...
Great point.
Yeah.
Great point. That is... Now, that one will continue. It has no impact on that. So the lawn and leaf pickup that we always do in the spring and fall, we will continue to do that so that the citizens can look forward to that again this year. We started that when we switched over to the polycarts to make it easier on citizens to dispose of their lawn waste at those two heaviest times.
The appropriate weeks will be announced at some future point.
Yes, sir. We will definitely, as we get closer, we will communicate those. And I have with me several people.
Yes.
One of them, I don't know if he's ever been on a radio program with us before. He was very excited to join me this morning. I have the city attorney, Mr. Jerry Maddox, is here with us to go over essentially the transfer of the Frank Phillips home from the state of Oklahoma to the city of Bartlesville.
In one sense, kind of straightforward, but because of the fact that the city didn't want to manage it, it's not as straightforward as you would think.
Well, and the deed complicated things. The city's, really our lack of resources and inability to operate it as a museum complicated things. Thankfully, we have great partners in our community. The Frank Phillips Foundation has stepped up, but like I said, there's a lot of legal things that went on in the background, and I try not to pretend to be a lawyer when there's one in the room.
You don't even play one on TV, do
No,
you?
I don't hesitate when he's not around, but he's looking at me, so I'm going to turn the microphone over to Jerry now.
Mr. City Attorney Jerry Maddox, thanks for taking some time out for your private practice and coming in this morning.
Thank you, Charlie. Almost a year ago now, the city was advised that the Oklahoma Historical Society that owned the Frank Phillips home was broke. They did not have money to operate the home, much less perform the maintenance that they had deferred for several years. And they simply had no money to operate the home. The deed, which deeded the house to the Oklahoma Historical Society, was in 1971. And it was by Elizabeth Phillips Irwin and Henry D. Irwin. Elizabeth was a granddaughter, I believe, of Frank and Jane Phillips. The deed was an unusual deed. It provided that in the event the Historical Society was unable, for financial reasons, to operate the home, that then it would revert to the city of Bartlesville. Well, when the city of Bartlesville looked at it, they determined, one, that the city didn't have extra revenue to operate, much less restore the home on the maintenance side, and really didn't have the expertise on board to operate the home. At this point, the Frank Phillips Foundation stepped forward.
Bob Frazier and friends, thank you very much.
Bob Frazier, right. Chairman, they were willing to take a look at taking over the home and maintaining it. And they talked to their supporters and determined there was enough interest and support financially for the foundation to take over the home. So the city and the Frank Phillips Foundation then met several times with the Oklahoma Historical Society, and the Historical Society agreed in April of this year, their board, to pass a resolution said they could not operate the home, and that pursuant to the deed they were conveying it back to the city of Bartlesville, but that it was with the understanding that the city of Bartlesville would go ahead and convey it to the Frank Phillips Foundation. Now, the deed provided that, the original deed, the 1971 deed provided that if the city of Bartlesville could not maintain this home, their only option was to tear it down and make a park. And this was something that nobody from the city or the state or the Frank Phillips Foundation really wanted to do. So the foundation agreed that they would take it over, but they would have to own it in order to spend funds on it. And we determined, we, the foundation, the city, and the Oklahoma Historical Society, determined that deeding it to the foundation and keeping it open as a historical site was really the intent of the original deed, even though it wasn't in compliance with the original wording in the deed that if the city couldn't maintain it, they had to tear it down. And so in July, the minutes of the April meeting of the Oklahoma Historical Society Board of Directors were approved, and they signed a document conveying the property to the city, which provided that, so far as they were concerned, the city should go ahead and convey it to the foundation, Frank Phillips Foundation. Since this was not in accordance with the explicit language of the deed, the foundation didn't really want to become the owner of it until a court had approved that this whole process met the intent of the original deed. So the city, who now owns the Frank Phillips home, entered into an agreement with the Frank Phillips Foundation that the city would lease the facility to the foundation, and they would operate it and maintain it until such time as the court approved this whole procedure and authorized and approved a deed from the city, at which time the city would deed the property to the foundation. It takes, because of notices we have to give in the newspaper, it takes 2 to 3 months to complete this legal proceeding. It has been filed in the district court and notices are being published in the paper. The heirs of the people that donated it have been notified. And so far as we know, they have no objections and are thrilled. So hopefully here in another couple months, the court will approve the entire transaction. The city then will deed it to the foundation, and then it will be theirs. And they have agreed to operate it and keep it open as a historical facility, and they'll operate it in much the same way that it has been, except they will make it, I believe, open to more private events. To do this, they needed to go have approval from the Board of Adjustment, and they received that approval, and there are no objections from the neighbors, there's no problems. So we anticipate in maybe October that the city then will deed this to the Frank Phillips Foundation, and the city will be out of business. And as I said, the facility and the contents are all leased to the foundation now, and they're physically handling everything.
They have effective control, if not legal control.
That's exactly right. So that's where we're at, and everybody's thrilled, I think, because it's going to really comply with the wishes of the people that donated it and the city of Bartlesville.
Sounds great. And
we want to thank Bob Frazier, and Bob Kane is chairman of their board of trustees out there, and they've all been super cooperative.
And probably all the future boards that will continue to be custodians of that property.
Yes. And they run Willow Rock, of course. That's their main job, and
sure,
they do a great job out there.
And with the public events, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, private events, or would be similar to what they do with Willow Rock as far as wedding receptions and the like.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for the update on that. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And, okay. You brought two other people. One of them looked like an engineer.
I did. I brought two more people, before we get to Micah, he's on deck.
Okay.
We'll visit a little bit with Shelley. I thought while we were on the topic of that museum, the mm-hmm. city of Bartlesville does have its own museum.
Yes.
As well as our library, and Shelley is the director for both of those. And I thought we'd spend a moment talking about our own programs. And while we say that we didn't have the expertise to run a museum, that's not entirely true.
We could have gotten the job done.
We operate a museum, but it was more a nervousness about maintaining a historical structure of that significance. We do not have the expertise to do that. So, but
we have people who are fully qualified as being the docents and everything else to tell the story.
Absolutely, we could have done that, but we are much more confident and comfortable with the Frank Phillips Foundation, and can't thank them enough. We're very excited about the future of that home and the plans that they have for it. We think it'll be key to the tourism and economic development in the city of Bartlesville.
Okay.
And I'm going to turn this over to Shelley so that she can talk about the great things that we've got at our museum.
All right. Which located on the fifth floor of City Hall.
Yes, sir. It's open from Monday through Thursday from 10 to 4. I want to tell you that we have Movie Mondays, and I'm sorry, that was Monday through Friday from 10 to 4. We have Movie Mondays every Monday, mm-hmm. or most Mondays, and today we're having a movie.
Probably not next Monday.
Not next Monday. today's movie is called The Daughter of the Dawn. It'll start at noon at the History Museum, and it's a silent film from the 20s. Mm-hmm. And we'd have all kinds of historical movies at the museum, and they're pretty well attended. People are really enjoying that series.
That was a topic of conversation yesterday afternoon at the Ollie get-together. You have a couple of your historians that are teaching a Bartlesville history class, and they mentioned that silent film.
So, oh, cool. Yeah. Cool. We have Julie Daniels coming to the museum to talk at the end of this month, unless they schedule that immediate emergency session. Mm-hmm. But she's scheduled to talk at noon on September 29th, and we're excited about her coming to speak to the museum. We're putting together our next exhibit, which is going to be an interesting one. It's about the micro midget racing in Bartlesville and in our area. And so they're actually going to display a couple race cars up there. They're going to have some memorabilia, and it ought to be a pretty fun exhibit. So they're putting that together right now. It should be in place about October 1st. We have a lot of racing fans that live here in Bartlesville.
Yes,
and
we do.
And I can't imagine that will be very well enjoyed. If you have a piece of memorabilia you'd like displayed, we do accept some or borrow some type of things like that. You would contact Joe Crabtree at 338-4294, and we would add that to the exhibit. And don't forget our gift shop we have in our museum.
Looking for something that says Bartlesville.
Yes, we have Bartlesville and Oklahoma memorabilia and books that are, you know, one-of-a-kind gifts that you probably wouldn't get every day and people really love.
I was looking for a speaker gift for Estella Quintanilla when she was here for our Crime Stoppers event and knew exactly where to find something that would speak of Bartlesville.
And, you know, just as the museum as a whole, we really have a pretty wide variety of things that people enjoy mm-hmm. seeing, and so I encourage you to go and to visit the museum. It is free unless you want to make a donation, and it's a great place to go and learn more about your history. And you know, every time I walk through there, I see something new, and so I encourage you to go see it.
And of course, those donations do support the upkeep and operation of the museum. That's an important part of what you do.
Yes, it is, and we appreciate every one of them. Our visitors over the last year have doubled, and so we think that's exciting. We have a lot of new people coming to the museum, and we're putting on some pretty good programs that people enjoy.
So again, check it out. Is it part of the 3D museum, part of the city website as far as information on the museum and the exhibits you provide?
Yes, we do have a website there, and we have a Facebook page, of course.
Okay.
And just reach out in any way you'd prefer, and we'll be glad to help you with whatever you need. We do have an archive of over 125,000 photos.
Wow.
So we also sell photos, and those are from the Griggs Collection, the Heil Collection, historical Bartlesville photos. So if you have a photo, you know, even that someone took of your family years ago, mm-hmm. bet we've got a copy. So,
all right. Sounds like a great deal. So visit your local history museum. Movie Mondays, most Mondays. Next Monday, of course, being Labor Day observance, city offices are closed, and I assume that the library and the museum will be closed.
They are. Speaking of the library, when we have a holiday like that, we also close on Saturdays.
Okay.
So this upcoming weekend will be closed Saturday. Of course, we're still closed Sundays for the season,
mm-hmm.
and then we're closed on Monday for the holiday. But we do reopen for Sundays year-round now the following Sunday, September 10th.
Okay.
So we'll be open Sundays the 10th.
Thank you much.
No. You want me to talk about the library for a second or no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We have a couple things coming up at the library that are kind of exciting. We are going to be partnering with the Price Tower, and we are having a Halloween bash. They're going to close the streets, and we're going to partner with that. It will be on October 27th at 5:30 to 7:30, and then after that they're going to show a movie at 8 at the Price Tower. Another thing we have going on that's really exciting right now is our genetic DNA testing.
Mm-hmm.
We're having workshops where we have a geneticist come in and help you interpret your genetic data and teach you how to research why this means that and what that means. And so it's pretty exciting. People are going and getting their 21andMe or Ancestry
DNA, that's okay, yeah.
and bringing that in.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's exciting, and it's nice to have that in someone who can give you the expert information so that you're not just guessing what this all means.
Yes. And I wanted to thank everyone for providing all the Lego donations. We have so many Legos that we got that it's very exciting. We're going to have them out on the floor soon. We're in the cleaning phase right now. And then we're also going to start a Lego club in the upcoming months. And that ought to be exciting for a lot of parents and kids because they're going to be built together classes.
Legos have always been popular, but in the last 5 or 6 years they have exploded. Thank you so much, Shelley. I appreciate it. And
thank you
for talking to us about it. And Mr. Bailey, you brought an engineer along, and right now it looks like he'll have a little bit more than the typical 2 minutes that you get.
That's true. That's true. I usually do get 2 minutes. So, yeah. Micah, you're welcome. I gave you 3.5 maybe by the time I'm done introducing you. That clock hasn't been right since before you were born, Mike Seamers. You got to go by that one. So we the city got a lot of questions over the light at Adams and the new shopping center.
Yes,
it was installed and then it was turned on and then it was turned off. So I thought I'd bring Micah along and he could talk about that and talk about what the future of that light will be.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right,
we did have a few call-ins on that, a few questions on that, and basically it was a test of sorts. Once they installed, make sure everything was functioning and whatnot. There are some things they still need to work out as far as preemption for emergency services and the sensors to, so we basically just cycled through at the time. So all that's working, all that's functioning, but we do need to do that. We also need to get it coordinated with the Silver Lake Road intersection there as well. So when we do that, essentially they're hardwired together, and then there's brains at one of them, which will be at the new one, that the two systems talk to each other and they try to get traffic through as efficiently as possible. And try to not have any major long delays or anything like that for any one direction of traffic. So
something similar to what we hopefully will eventually be with the lights on 75.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
The way they used to be on
75. And fortunately for that one, that was on ODOT, not the city of Bartlesville. So we are actually working through some kinks on that as well with the state. And there were some things that were left out of that project that we're trying to get taken care of. So we are working with them on that. And hopefully get a resolution there seen on that as well.
And that light on Adams was part of the original plan for Phase 1.
That is
not
correct.
Like we were trying to get started with Phase 2, and then when Phase 2 was canceled, we were pulling the light back out or anything.
That's correct. It was actually needed for Phase 1. And Phase 2, whether it does end up happening or not, in some form or fashion, the signal was justified with Phase 1. And so it's associated with that project.
Okay. Other work going around downtown. We've got about a minute and a half that I can allocate you to. I know the work on the sewer project that starts at or around the community center Price Tower and works its way to wherever it goes, kind of in a zigzag fashion.
Yeah, that's true. That one, and it's hard to explain exactly where the area covers, but
without a map, and sometimes that's confusing.
Exactly. It's a phase project. We've done. I believe this is the fourth phase here in. They call it 2015, but we're actually now in 2017.
Fiscal 2018, if you really want to.
This is true. Well,
a couple of long phases.
Good point. I appreciate you pointing that out, Charlie. It takes time. It takes time. But we are on the fourth phase of this, and this should be the final phase before, obviously, another evaluation of the system and whatnot. So that's about, I'm going to say, about 25% complete on that project currently. So you'll see various different locations that they're either working in alleys or may have a portion of a roadway torn up during that project. The other downtown project we got going right now is the Johnstone Pavilion. We're getting close to wrapping that one up. We've got, I think really all we've got left on that project is getting the area lights, the street lights installed. The brick pavers have been installed. They look real nice, look pretty. The sod has all been installed. We're working on some electrical right now. They had to pull some of the sod up again and relay that. But we're getting close. Should be done in the next couple of weeks on that.
All right. That's City Matters on 1400 K1. For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3.